Thank you. We're ready to go.
Okay, thank you very much. 21 meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. May we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Villa?
Here.
Director Aplogle?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Austin?
Here.
And Director Gibson absent.
Okay, we'll now do the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. That brings us to agenda review. Is there anything anyone wants to bring up at this time on the agenda? Nothing, so then we will accept the agenda as presented. And we'll move on now to...
I make a motion that we approve the agenda as presented.
There a second?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Okay, the agenda is approved as presented. Mr. Minery, can we get a report?
Yes.
Our closed session from July 14th, please?
Yep, there's no reportable action.
All right, thank you very much. That brings us now to public comment for matters that are not on this evening's agenda. Do we have anyone in the queue for public comment tonight, Carrie?
Yes, and just to remind the public, please hit the raise hand button. The raise hand button if you're on your computer, the *9 if you're on your phone. And actually that's all today, so.
Harry, if I could interrupt for a second, would you please rename the person in the public who's got an offensive name directed at me?
I'll do that while we wait.
I'm sorry, what was that question?
One of the attendees from the public is using an offensive name directed at me.
I don't see it.
I don't see it.
I just changed it.
Okay. Good.
All right, go ahead. Is there any public comment?
And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you. That brings us now to our special presentations and reports. So we'll start with staff reports. Do we have a report from Commander Wells this evening?
So Commander Wells and Chief Lieberman are not with us this evening.
Okay, thank you. Then that brings us to our Operations Utility Systems Manager, Tony Maricino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino.
Good evening, Tony.
Utility Systems Manager. So for the past 2 weeks, Lopez is currently at 33.8% full, which is 16,675 acre feet. We are continuing with our daily rounds, our weekly and monthly samples. We had 7 work orders, 7 USAs. We had 10 customer service calls, 1 after hours call out, and that was for a delivery of chlorine that was late getting to well 8. We completed meter reading. We had rereads for high consumption, leaks, and misreads. We also had our comment codes from the operators who did the meter reading to go out and fix discrepancies on the routes. We have started and continued the sewer jetting of our sewer system. We are still picking up trash, and we had weed abatement here at the water yard. Any questions?
Have anyone have any questions for Tony?
Here.
Seeing none.
All right, Tony, thank you.
Thank you so much. That brings us now to our general manager, Mr. Clemens.
Yeah, mine's going to be real brief. Most of our work was related to the items that are on the agenda tonight. But in addition to those, I also did attend a couple of webinars relating to the CalPERS rate of return that was just reported for last fiscal year. So there's good news and bad news. The good news is they had a fantastic return, 21.3% return on their investments. So normally that would be all good news because it reduces the amount of our unfunded liability and increases our funding ratio. However, they in 2015 adopted a policy to try to bring the expected rate of return down over time. It's been at 7%, and with their policy, it basically says they're only going to reduce it when they have excess returns to help pay for it. So because of the excess returns this year, it dropped the expected rate of return from 7 to 6.8% moving forward in the future. Overall, that's a good thing in that it helps prevent variability of the returns over time because they can de-risk the portfolio. However, what it does mean to agencies is a slight increase in costs over time because there's not as much investment return expected to cover those costs. So good news and bad news there. And that's the extent of my report.
All right. Thank you very much. That'll bring us now to our board of directors and outside committees.
Excuse me, President Austin. Can I ask the general manager a question, please?
Go ahead.
Mr. Clemens, could I get an update on the harassment issue? I had a last email from you almost 6 weeks ago and haven't heard anything.
Nothing to report.
Okay. So when is the cease and desist letter going to go out?
I'm not sure that it is.
And why is that?
It's really not appropriate for us to discuss here.
The one you can talk to him later is not appropriate at this time. So now we'll move on to Director Villa. Do you have any reports?
Yes. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
On the 17th, the Oceana Advisory Council met. And at this meeting, we had Stephen, representative from SLOCOG, present there. And he basically, he's attending our meetings as much as he can just to give us advice on how to go about obtaining more sidewalk for Oceano. He's very knowledgeable about grants and the strategy. So basically he informed us at this meeting that the likelihood of us getting all of Oceano paved is very slim because of the cost, but that we should still look into getting community involvement and ourselves, you know, gathering as much data as possible on maybe certain areas where there's more flooding, where there's more traveling to the school, to access the school. And once we gather that data, using that to maybe we can have a better chance of getting a grant to cover those areas. Also at this meeting, we decided to submit and read a letter of intent for membership for the VACO Advisory Council, which met on the 22nd. We decided to attend the meeting and read it there personally. And we asked for membership and also for VACO to also submit a letter of intent for membership to our council. We believe that together we are stronger and we can, you know, involve all the community in educating them about what's, you know, projects that are good for Oceano. And also just to unite us overall as a community and work on projects that we mutually think are important, both advisory councils. So we did that there at the meeting. We also did submit our budget. I spoke to you about it at the last meeting, but we finally did submit our budget. And we took the SurveyMonkey's fees off. So hopefully it'll get accepted. I believe it was $2,100. So we still haven't received anything saying that it was accepted or rejected. So we're looking forward to that. And that, I believe, was the gist of our meeting. Thank you.
Could I ask a question?
Yes.
I don't know if I can legally, can I?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead,
Karen. I was just wondering, you're talking about these grants for sidewalks, which is a wonderful idea. Where would who would be the receiver of those grants?
Well, I believe the OCSD, we haven't gotten to talk about the details yet. This is all just like thinking, you know, how to go about it. Our council has never done anything like this. So he basically is just telling us it's like the chances of us getting for all of Oceano. We figured that was the case, but also he did, I forgot to mention one part. He did say that there's an awesome program called Cal Walks, and they focus on disadvantaged communities and getting them, you know, sidewalks so that they could be safer communities and healthier communities. So we're going to look into that program, contact the person, the representative there, and get the information to see, you know, maybe we could just get the most traveled areas in Oceano done. Maybe you can get all Oceano done, but this isn't going to be something that's going to be done in, you know, 6 months or a year. This might, I'm thinking, if we're lucky, we can get it done in 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Question is, though, still who would receive it? Because OCSD can't do sidewalks.
Maybe the county does. We didn't ask that question. That's something that's important to know, and we'll ask that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
One more thing.
Yeah.
The Oceano Community Association, Oceano Beach Community Association, is having a cleanup here in Oceano from 17th Street from Ocean to Beach. And this area, the OCSD provided the dumpster, the roll-off dumpster. Thank you, OCSD. You guys are great. Provided the dumpster there. We're going to clean up and hopefully engage the homeless community there. That's one of the issues that, you know, some of this trash, I'm not going to say all of it, but some of it is, they're contributing to it. So we're going to try to get them involved to also help us clean up and make them feel part of our community and have community pride. They can be in our community, but they need to help keep our community clean. So if you could join us from 10 to 12, helping us out there.
When?
Even if it's just for 15, 20 minutes, that would be great. Thank you.
When? What day?
This Saturday, the 21st, from 10 to 12.
Okay, thank you. Director Gibbs is not here. Vice President White, do you have anything?
Yes, I do. Yeah, regular meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority on July 16th. Several months of negotiations, we approved salary increases and with our union, 3% increase, which was about $40,000 from 1 year, 3% increase for 1 year. And then our non-union employees also got 3%, and that was about $15,000 a year. We held the yearly weed abatement protest, and there was no comments from anyone, but the costs have gone up and people are just letting Five Cities Fire Authority deal with their weedy yards, and it's gonna cost $11,788 for Arroyo Grande, $15,089 for Grover, $2,209 for Oceano. It's way over the budget, and the county is, because we bill the property owners, the money goes through the property tax program, and we finally get it back from the county, and the county is gonna kind of give us part of it back ahead of time because it's way over, it's about $100,000 over our budget at least that we allotted. And people are just, they're out of towners. They don't care, they just let us deal with the problem. And we're looking at ways to change the whole weed abatement program. We also, had reviewed the fire station cost data analysis and comparison to Cal Fire Pismo Beach. Kind of comprehensive document. It showed that Oceano does a lot of, takes a lot of runs for Grover and Roy Grandy, but of course Roy Grandy and Grover come to Oceano as well. It's on the website. It can be found in on the agenda for the meeting of July 16th on the website. I think it's pretty interesting reading if anybody would like to follow up. It gives us a really a clear picture of the skyrocketing costs, and Cal Fire is, a station is more than $2 million to keep a station open for a year. So, thank you.
Thank you. Director Rapoco?
No report.
Okay, and I have no reports. So now I'll open to public comment on the staff reports and the board of director reports.
Yes, and just to remind the public, please hit *9 if you're on the phone, and then the raise hand button if you are on your computer or tablet. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll move on to item 8, the consent agenda. Minutes for July 14th, cash disbursements, and the submittal of the district's fiscal year 2021 quarter four treasury report. So is there anything anyone wants to pull off the consent agenda for more discussion?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Okay. No, but President Austin, might we take the minutes separately from the other items? I need to abstain from that because I was not present.
Okay. Then we will review cash disbursements and the fiscal year treasurer's report. So is there any public comment on these items? We'll do the B and C first. Are there any public comment on B and C?
And yes, just to remind the public, it's *9 on the phone and then the raise hand button on your computer or tablet. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
Okay. We'll bring it back to the board if there's any discussion or anyone hear a motion.
I make a motion we approve consent agenda items B, review of cash disbursements, and C, submittal of the district's fiscal year 2021 quarter four treasurer's report.
Okay. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes. Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Plogel?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay, then we'll come back to item A, review and approval of the minutes for the meeting of July 14th. So is there any public comment on the minutes?
Yes, and just please hit *9 on the phone and the raise hand button on your computer or tablet. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
All right, thank you. Then can we bring it back and get a motion on the item 8A?
Make a motion we approve consent agenda. Item A, approval of minutes of the regular meeting of July 14th, 2021.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Roll call, please.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, for a point of order, do I need to call Director yes. Replogel and you'll abstain?
Yes. Abstain.
Okay.
Okay, moving right along to business items. So we will do drought issues and review of water supply first. And I believe, is there a report on that?
Yeah, I have a presentation that I'll share. My screen. Are you seeing that?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay, so obviously, as everyone knows, we're in a drought, and this is illustrated by the U.S. Drought Monitor, as you can see here. Most of San Luis Obispo County is currently in extreme drought, with just the eastern edge in exceptional drought, and it only is anticipated to worsen as we go through this summer. So based on the drought that conditions, the United States Department of Agriculture declared San Luis Obispo County as a disaster area due to the drought conditions. That was followed up by the governor, including San Luis Obispo County in the state's drought state of emergency. And then on July 13th, the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors declared a local emergency due to drought conditions. So we anticipate in August that the county will have an item to enact the Lopez Low Reservoir Response Plan, and we'll discuss that a little bit further later on. So with those drought declarations, it's appropriate that we take a look at our water supply. As you know, our water supply, we have three different water supplies: Lopez Reservoir, the groundwater basin, and state water. So we'll take one of those each at a time, once at a time. Lopez Reservoir, our district has a 303 acre feet per year allocation out of Lopez Reservoir. As Tony reported, I just looked today, currently it's 33.8% full, or 16,675 acre feet in storage. Those are numbers that are concerning, there's really two things needed to trigger the low reservoir response plan. Number one, the lake storage needs to drop below 20,000 acre feet, which as you can see, it has already. And the county needs to declare a drought state of emergency. So that just happened July 13th. So we anticipate them coming back in August to enact that low reservoir response plan. Some side notes, the agencies are still working on contract amendments to provide storage rights in Lopez Reservoir. Right now, that 303 acre feet is a use it or lose it. You either use it each year or it goes back to the district if you don't use it, meaning the flood control district. So those contract amendments would allow agencies to store water, and really that's a beneficial thing because it helps agencies to manage their water supplies and encourages conservation locally of local resources. So we're hoping to get those contract amendments approved by the end of this calendar year. And right now it's in the environmental phase of that project, CEQA. So we look forward to that later this year. This is the latest storage projection at Lopez. You can see we're here in July. That dashed line is the 20,000 acre foot level. So we've dropped below that. If there is no rain, you can see the projection will drop below 15,000 acre feet this fall. And if it continues out, we anticipate it without any rain dropping below the 10,000 acre foot level sometime next calendar year. So what does that mean when it comes to the low reservoir response plan? Well, as the lake drops, it results in reductions to municipal deliveries. So at 20,000 acre feet, there is no reduction. Oceano would still get its 303 acre feet for that year. Once it passes 15,000 acre feet, then all municipal agencies are reduced by 10%. As I said, we anticipate that happening in the fall, so that would drop our entitlement for this water year down to 272.7 acre feet. If it hits 10,000 next year, you can see it would drop 20%, or for Oceano, 242.4 acre feet for the year. Then if it hits the 5,000 acre foot level, it would be reduced by 35%, meaning 197 acre feet would be available to Oceano. So assuming no rain, that's where the reservoir would be headed and the reductions to our water supply from Lopez. State water, we have a 750 acre foot per year allocation with another 750 acre foot drought buffer. So that means that whatever our allocation is, currently the state has declared 5% allocation. So that means we could get a maximum of 75 acre feet of our Table A water if it was just based on Oceano's contracts. However, the county has an excess allocation of over 14,000 acre feet per year. And so what that means is the county has historically used that excess allocation to improve the reliability for its subcontractors. So what that means is at a 5% allocation, if the county uses that excess allocation for reliability, we can actually get about 194 acre feet for the year at 5% allocation. That is if all the subcontractors take their full amount of state water requests. That rarely happens, so really we could see over 200 acre feet delivered, even though it's only a 5% allocation year. The other good news when it comes to state water is that the county has over 14,600 acre feet stored in San Luis Reservoir, which is located in Merced County. 990 acre feet of that amount is slated for Oceano. That's our share of the storage in San Luis Reservoir. So as we're going to see a little bit later on, what that means for our water supply when you combine them all together. We also have a 900 acre foot per year allocation from the groundwater basin. However, the groundwater basin is adjudicated. It is in a tenuous situation because of the drought. So the technical committee has established a threshold index, a deep well index, which averages the levels in the wells in our portion of the basin, below which we don't really like to see it go. And that threshold is 7.5 feet. Currently, it's at 7.25 feet. So that's below the threshold index. So that's a bit concerning. However, each calendar year, we see it dip usually below that 7.5 foot threshold towards the end of summer. So it's kind of a routine thing that as the dry period goes on, the basin levels get lower. It usually dips below 7.5 feet. However, once it starts raining, then it rebounds above that level. So the concern would be if it doesn't rebound and go back above that level. So for about the past decade, the municipal agencies, which include Oceano, Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, and Rio Grande, have been limiting their pumping to 30 to 35% of their groundwater allocations in order to maintain the basin health. So we could pump more legally. However, that would possibly endanger the health of the basin, so we don't want to do that. This is a historical graph. The blue line is the deep well index going back to the 60s. You can see the dashed line represents that threshold that we don't want to see it dip below. So currently, it just in the July report dipped below that level. This graph doesn't show that because it wasn't available at that the time we printed it, but it has gone below that threshold level. So this kind of combines all the water sources for Oceano and shows over time some interesting information. So the green bars represent production of state water. The red portion represents production of Lopez water, and the blue is a production from groundwater. So you can see over time, from the early 2000s to 2010, the community was using, you know, around 900 acre feet of water per year. Then the drought began to hit in 2011 through 2017, and there were mandatory reductions. The community responded well and reduced its usage, as you can see from this graph. On average, the community reduced its usage by 19% since the base year of 2013. So that's one thing you can get from this graph, is to see how the community has conserved water. But what that means is if we're going into another drought, there's less of a opportunity to grab that low-hanging conservation fruit and conserve further water. So it's good news, bad news there. What you can also discern is that during the drought, the last drought we experienced, the district relied heavily on state water to preserve the local water sources from the groundwater basin and Lopez Lake. Then once in 2017, the drought was declared over, you can see we went back to relying on Lopez water quite significantly. And the reason we were using so much Lopez water is because of that low reservoir response plan. The district was able to store water in Lopez Reservoir, but it needed to use it within 3 years of the drought ending. So we've been relying heavily on Lopez water in the past several years. However, now we're going back and we're going to rely heavily again on state water to preserve our local supplies here in San Luis County. So I put together just a theoretical projection. What happens if we don't get any rain for the next 3 years? That's never happened, so it's not a likely scenario, but it's kind of a worst case scenario, you might say. If there was no rain for the next 3 years, how would we fare from a water supply standpoint? So some of the assumptions we made is that we continue to pump out of the groundwater basin at 30% of our allocation. We are assuming that we're going to hit the 10% reduction in the current year from Lopez. If no rain happens, we'll hit the 20% reduction next year. And it's anticipated that the year after that, if there's no rain, we'll hit that 35% reduction level. So that's what we've assumed for Lopez. And state water, the lowest allocation it's ever been is 5%. So we're at the lowest allocation in history. However, there's never been a 0% delivery year. That's not to say that it can't happen. It could. But we're assuming them to continue delivering 5% over the next 3 years. We've taken our current demand for water based on last calendar year, And we've carried that out. We're not assuming any conservation, but of course any conservation would simply help these numbers. And we're also factoring in our storage. So our beginning storage is about 1,097 acre feet. 990 of that is state water, and we have 107 in surplus water that we can put into storage in Lopez. So that's our beginning storage number. So you can see this first year, if it doesn't rain, we'll have to take a little bit out of storage to meet our needs, but only about, you know, less than 7 acre feet. That's then carried on to year two. We might use a little less than 40 acre feet out of storage. And in year three, we would use, approximately, 70 acre feet out of storage. So you can see if we get no rain, we'll end our third year with over a year's worth of our usage still in storage. So that's the good news. You know, we could go 4 years without any rain. Hopefully that doesn't happen. It begins to rain again. But this just shows the good situation that this community is in because of the diversified water supply that it has. So overall, we should take away from this that we're in a good water position. Some other possible supply sources to just comment on. The State Water Management Tools Amendment was recently approved by the Board of Supervisors. So what that's going to allow, it's going to basically expand the market for state water, either buying or selling, to include areas outside the county of San Luis Obispo. However, the Board of Supervisors has tasked Public Works to come back to them with a process for utilizing that amendment. So that's what Public Works is currently working on, is a process to utilize the water management tools. We anticipate them perhaps bringing that to the board in August as well to discuss that process for utilizing the amendment. When it comes to Central Coast Blue, that's been in the news quite a bit lately. We understand that the city of Arroyo Grande has concerns regarding the governance issues related to that project. So they decided not to sign the operating agreement as it was presented to them so that they didn't have to spend any more money on the project until their governance issues are addressed, their concerns. Now, whether those governance issues will be addressed is yet to be seen. But we as a district are basically taking a wait and see attitude. We're not spending any time or money on the issue until we see what comes of the city's discussions relating to Central Coast Blue. And that's the extent of my presentation. Certainly happy to answer any questions. I'll quit sharing my screen.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Clemens. That was a really thorough report. It's always good to renew, you know, all our water portfolio and things. So thank you very much. Is there any other questions?
Yes, I've got a few. First, thank you, Mr. Clemens, for that very thorough report. It was helpful. I wanted to mention that Arroyo Grande City Council is not only concerned with the governance issues, but they also want to make sure that the Central Coast Blue project is operated with transparency and sufficient opportunities for public input, which are important for our communities as well. Do you know if the county is planning to roll out any incentives for water conservation? I know when I was looking to replace my lawn a couple years ago, there was nothing available locally, and I had to look out a state for a cash, or to the state level for a cash for grass program.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any anything at the county level yet. We are in close contact with the water conservation manager with the county, so no doubt if they do offer programs, we'll be the first to let everyone know. During the past drought, the state actually had a lot of the incentives that people could partake of. I haven't seen those reintroduced yet, but certainly that's a possibility. But as far as Oceano CSD goes, we don't have that in our budget, and we didn't include it in our rate increase to have a conservation program at the time. So doesn't mean we can't do it in the future if needed, but we would have to adjust our budget to do so.
And you mentioned that the municipalities all limit their groundwater pumping when the water level reaches a certain point. Does Ag, which is a big user, also limit their pumping?
They naturally do, just with the cycle of the year. And, you know, their wells get the production drops, you know, with a drought. So they naturally do cut back their pumping, but there's nothing that forces them to do so.
Do you know what portion of the groundwater in a typical year is pumped from Ag versus the CSD in the cities?
I don't know that off the top of my head.
Roughly? I mean, is Ag a bigger user than residential and business?
I haven't really looked at the Ag pumping issue.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Go ahead. Someone have a question?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, go ahead, Director Bean.
I noticed that you stated that we're going to be using state water more now, but in the example it was like pretty steady on 5% every year for the 3 years for that example. Is that just an example?
Yeah, so that's assuming a 5% allocation. That number also assumes that the county will use its excess allocation to improve our reliability, and it also takes into account our storage. So anything we're pulling out of storage would probably come from San Luis Reservoir, because our goal would be to take as much water from San Luis Reservoir and Merced and bring it to the county during a drought and preserve everything we can in Lopez and in our groundwater basin.
So, but what I'm saying is state water would be only 5% of the water?
No, I mean, if for some reason groundwater basin dried up or Lopez dropped and that wasn't available, we could lean on state water much more because of the storage that we have in San Luis Reservoir. But right now, that's kind of our bank.
Okay, does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. Do we have any prediction of rain this year? Have we heard anything for what's going to happen this fall?
It's interesting. We
La Nina, or usually they'll tell us if we're looking for a La Nina or an El Nino. We're hoping for an El Nino, right?
We actually did have a presentation at our last TAC meeting from a hydrologist that looked at climate change, so looking out into the future, and it was actually interesting that they predict an increase in the amount of rain in the Lopez watershed due to climate change. However, it's much more variable. So just like we saw that huge storm for 3 days this past winter, it looks ahead and says, we're going to see more of those, you know, extreme weather events and then extreme drought. But overall, they expect an increase, I think it's around 10-12% in rain in the Lopez watershed. So that's really good news for the Lopez Reservoir. However, that also brings with it higher temperatures, which means less snowpack in the Sierras. So that's bad news for state water.
Yeah.
Because that's what they rely on for their storage is the snowpack. So the long-term outlook for our area is, you know, more rain in Lopez, but less snowpack in the Sierras. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Okay. Well, I'll open this to public comment now.
Yes, and just to remind the public, please hit *9 on the phone and then hit the raise hand button if you're on a computer or tablet. And I am going to unmute the first speaker, Jeff Edwards.
Thank you, Madam President. Good evening, board. My name is Jeff Edwards. Last night, I was in on the Aurora Grande City Council meeting, and they have scheduled a comprehensive review of their water supply options for August 25th. And I also sent a letter to your board on Monday outlining what I think is a potential relationship with the city of Aurora Grande, similar to the one you had back in 2009 to 2014. I would submit to your board that this is a singular opportunity to enhance not only your water resources and plan for the future, but to generate some revenues. And hopefully you saw my letter. The premise is that you augment, in a modest way, augment your state project water entitlements. And I've got some math that I've computed. And if you increased your table A allotment by 250 acre feet and increased your drought buffer by 750 acre feet, excuse me, it would give you a minimum delivery of 1,000 acre feet per year with a 40% delivery. So again, I think this is a great option. As you know, Aurora Grande is likely out of CCB. As your general manager mentioned, the flood control and water conservation district is interested in deploying the unallocated amount of state water they have, which approaches 15,000 acre feet. And your district, as you know, needs money for infrastructure improvements, particularly in the water arena. So you really can't rely solely on grants to do the things that you want to do. I just don't think there's enough opportunity there. I'm hopeful that your board does not pass this opportunity because you're afraid of Kismo Beach. And I say that almost with tongue in cheek, but it's true. Not only would you be afraid, or are you afraid potentially, but Pismo Beach bullies and cajoles all sorts of folks. Grover Beach, they're trying to get AG to come into line. But Pismo Beach, these are the same folks that their city manager said that if Oceano doesn't reduce their pumping with our CCB project, we're going to go back to court and make them reduce the pumping. So it's clear Pismo doesn't play fair. And I would urge your board to immediately, or direct your staff to start working with the AG city staff to look at the possibilities for a deal. AG was to get 400 acre feet from CCB. And I think that's an amount that you could deliver, certainly with an augmented water portfolio, such as I've suggested. So please take this opportunity. Don't play a wait and see game. The opportunity is now, and I think it's imperative that your board initiate discussions with Aurora Grande well in advance of their August meeting so that they can actually have something to report. I'll give the numbers to you in short, and it's something I didn't hear in the staff report, is a lot of talk about dollars and cents. But I believe you could secure 400 acre feet of water to wield the Aurora Grande at about $1 an acre foot. And they would be willing, I think, to pay $2,000 an acre foot, given, and I'll be concluding here, Madam President, $2,000 per acre foot is half the price of what CCB is scheduled to be. So
okay, thank you.
Do your district a service. You can't rely on grants. Generate some revenues. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else?
Yes, and the next speaker I have is the phone number ending 8262.
Okay. Good evening, Julie Tacker. And I'd like to kind of piggyback on some of what Mr. Edwards said in a little more global approach. Yes, Oceano CSD needs infrastructure improvements and needs the money to do so. But what you also need is money to sustain your fire services. And the way that I look at Mr. Edwards' proposal is as an opportunity to use the money that Arroyo Grande would be paying you to fix the infrastructure, while it is the same customer who needs the fire service. So if you'll follow me, if you have this influx of revenue, you will not have to raise your water rates to cover the infrastructure improvements in the water system. You may, in fact, be able to reduce your water rates depending on how you allocate those funds. If you can do that, you may have a better chance at getting a fire tax to sustain the fire services, and because these are, again, the same ratepayers. So if you laid that out to the community, that now you have this money for water and you don't have to come to them for a rate increase to cover the infrastructure improvements, they are freed up, or their pocketbooks are freed up, to help pay for the fire services. So once again, just a global approach, a bigger picture view at how it can benefit your community. And I think conversation between the two communities should have it now. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, is there any other public comment?
And with that was the last hand I had raised. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So this is just, is there any other comment from the board, Ms. Vice President White?
Our voters made it real clear to us at a time when our former board president was going to sell water permanently to Pismo Beach for development that they are not in favor of the Oceana Community Service District selling water permanently. And I know there's been questions about whether that election, that vote, was legal or illegal, but I'm sure not going to go in that direction of permanent water sales when I know that our constituents are against it. And the other thing is, I don't think Arroyo Grande can take state water because they voted against state water long ago down the road. Now, maybe I'm wrong. So I see two little problems in this plan to sell water. Thank you. Maybe somebody could explain that all to me better.
Vice President White, do you know when that vote was taken of the residents?
No, I voted for it. I mean, against it. I mean,
like
about 6 years ago, maybe. Even longer. When was it?
I believe it was 2012.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
10 years ago. Yeah. Jim Hill and Pamela Dean was on the board then too.
Yeah.
Mr. Clemens, do you have any thoughts on the public comment?
I think it would be much easier to work with customers on a temporary basis, a 5-year right to purchase water. Certainly a lot of the concepts are I agree with. I think we're in a good position to utilize our state water to generate some revenue. It's just it's the details that need to be worked out and what's acceptable. I know Arroyo Grande does need to change their policies if they're to take state water. Right now, they can only take state water in an emergency. So whether they're willing to do that, I don't know. And there's some problems with getting more Table A water. There's capacity constraints, not necessarily in the pipeline. We know there is excess capacity in the pipeline, but there is not excess capacity at Colonial Pass Water Treatment Plant. That's what the county told me today. So, whether the county would be willing to give up some of their Table A to us, I don't know. That will all be discussed as they discuss the Water Tools Amendment and how best to use that excess capacity locally. Certainly all doors are open, and we're going to be a part of those discussions, and we'll work on a deal that makes sense, not just to us, but to whoever is our partner in that sale.
Wouldn't we have to wait for Arroyo Grande to ask us to, instead of planning to, they would approach
typically
us?
That would be the
right way. Yes,
if they were interested in working a deal, I would expect to hear from them.
Hear from them before we would approach them.
But I can certainly, discuss the subject with the city manager if they're interested.
Okay. Is there any other questions or comments? Well,
I was just going to say real quick, I do not feel intimidated by Pismo Beach. Thank you.
No, neither do I. We've stood our ground plenty of times with Pismo Beach over the years. This is just a receive and file, correct? So again, thank you. It was a very, very thorough report, very informative, a good reminder on our water supply, so appreciate it very much. Okay, that'll bring us now to 9B, consideration and approval of letters to the County Board of Supervisors and San Luis Obispo County chapter of the CSDA regarding the Integrated Waste Management Authority. So, Mr. Clemens, do you have a...
So I don't have a presentation, but I'll just kind of summarize. So we have two letters before you tonight for your consideration. I'll start with the one to the CSDA local chapter. So you may be aware that CSDA local chapter handles the elections for representation on LAFCO on the behalf of special districts in the county. So this letter is a request to them to do help us similarly the authorized districts when it comes to representation on IWMA. So that's what this letter is. There's a opportunity if your desire is to nominate someone to serve on the IWMA board as the alternate for authorized districts. That's currently open, but there's never really been a process established for electing the representations of authorized districts on IWMA. So that's the one letter. So that's kind of one issue. The other issue is the possible withdrawal of the county from IWMA. And there's a letter before you for consideration that you may want to provide. Now, the county has hired a consultant to come back and let them know what the cost would be for withdrawal from IWMA on the part of the county. That report is not available currently, so I don't know what it says. But in addition, tonight You may know also know that IWMA appointed an interim executive director, Mr. Pava Ogren, that you're very familiar with. So he's with us tonight to kind of discuss priorities at IWMA. And I thought we could give him some time to present what IWMA will be focused on in the near term. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Mr. Ogren.
Okay.
There I you am are. On. Good evening, President Austin and members of the board for Oceano Community Services District. Good to see everybody again. And as Will mentioned, on Monday, I was first day in the office at the IWMA as an interim appointment. And I've quickly reviewed and gotten my, you know, head around some of the priorities, did a little bit of prior research and have had a chance to meet with some of the elected officials. But certainly the issue of consideration by the county of withdrawing from IWMA is something that I've reviewed a lot of the background information on. And I have not reviewed your agenda, nor would I want to really speak to what your board may or may not want to do. But as Will mentioned, I want to kind of talk about our priorities a little bit. So the next IWMA board meeting on August 11th, I've prepared an agenda item that I'll actually be reviewing with the executive committee next week on some of the dynamics that I think the board and elected officials might want to consider. And it's basically under two different scenarios. One is if current membership of IWMA stays the same, or second scenario, if membership of IWMA changes. And what does that mean to IWMA's relationships with the local agencies, meeting objectives, and whatnot? I do think that the IWMA board and those who are making decisions associated with membership, that there are some issues within the existing joint powers agreement that seriously need to be looked at. And you know, I can't express optimism or anything, but or pessimism, you know, want to stay very neutral. But what I've done is simply developed an approach where I hope I can facilitate and encourage discussions at the IWMA itself amongst the decision makers on some of the issues and whether there's opportunities to IWMA to stay the same membership. And if ultimately IWMA membership does change, then IWMA needs to start working on what those changes might be sooner as opposed to later. Of one of the basic questions is that if there is a withdrawal by any membership, does that dissolve IWMA? And the answer is no. The JPA is pretty clear that if one or even more members withdraw, then the remaining members will still be what is then IWMA 2, I suppose. And the JPA provides guidance that the jurisdictional boundary of IWMA will then change. Currently, it's countywide because it's full participation. But if one of the members were to leave, then that jurisdictional boundary will change. After that, there's going to be a lot of questions. And so the agenda item is really to talk about what's the process that the board wants to provide staff direction on, and considering A, whether IWMA stays with current membership, or B, if there's a change in membership. We have some budget issues, won't get into those now, but certainly that's going to be a topic for the board coming up. But lastly, one of our primary objectives is that I want to make sure, I've already gotten some feedback from Mr. Clemens and other agencies regarding the question of how well is the IWMA staff being responsive to the staff of the various agencies, because IWMA staff is ultimately, you know, here to serve to the benefit of all the agencies, the county, the cities, and the special districts that, you know, have the appropriate jurisdiction for solid waste and recycling. So that's a big part of, you know, what our objectives are going to be in the near future. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. Although I'm having a problem.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Pablo, are there any questions for Mr. Ogren from anyone on the board? Okay, I don't think we have any questions, so thank you. Thank you for being here. Okay, so we'll bring it back. So what do we want to, I guess we should open public comment first, right? Is there any public comment?
Thank you.
I don't hear you, Carrie.
Hi, can you hear me now?
There you are.
Sorry about that. So yes, just to remind the public, please hit *9 if you're on your phone, and then if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button. So I have two hands raised, and I'm going to unmute the first speaker, April.
Good evening. My name is April, an Oceano resident, and I wanted to take a moment and thank the OCSD and the board for the direction that created the letter to IWMA. I'm very thankful as a resident and ratepayer that we strive to continue to keep the IWMA going. I appreciate that, and I hope that that's what happens. And I would like to say that since Director Rapogal's already on the IWMA committee, it would make the most sense if we could nominate her for the position that's available as a representative with a little more oversight and understanding of the issue. And given that she's already holding that position, she would just have a little more involvement and accountability to the people that elected all of you. So thank you so much for your time.
Okay, is there anyone else?
Yes, then the next hand I have raised is Janine Kennel-Rands.
Okay.
Good evening, President Austin and board members. I'm glad to be part of your meeting tonight. And I first want to thank you for your support to keep your streets and beach litter free from plastics and just junk in general. And what a great idea that you've got the participation of everyone, including the homeless, to keep your beach clean and your streets clean. I also want to thank your board for being a strong supporter of the polystyrene ordinance that was passed in October 2019. And it was postponed, of course, for 18 months, but recently reinstated, but taken off the postponement. So we've realized the problem of foam foodware, and because of our actions, we can see a cleaner beach. But I'm addressing tonight the item on 9B, particularly addressing the representation to the IWMA from the approved districts to the IWMA. As chair of our effort on the polystyrene ordinance, that we're interested in the participation of the whole county, not just the five cities who currently have an ordinance. And that's where the county ordinance is so important, and that having a good representative that contacts and keeps in touch with all the districts is critical. And what we discovered this last year, when the polystyrene ordinance was on the chopping block, they were planning to repeal it by the majority of the board. The community got involved, and we reached out to all the districts and found out that the districts weren't even aware. Some of them weren't even aware of the polystyrene ordinance. They hadn't heard from President Enns, or our current then IWMA President Enns, who hadn't reached out to the CSDs in general. So they weren't aware of the ordinance, nor were they aware that it would be postponed and was ready to be completely repealed. That's a great concern. And so we want, the county citizens want a representation to this issue and on the board. So I would like to nominate and highly request that your board nominate Cynthia Rapogli. She's one of your directors and closely related or supportive of the polystyrene ordinance since we started in 2014. and supported each of the cities getting that, and then coming and speaking at the county IWMA meetings in support of the polystyrene ordinance for the ordinance. Cindy has the time, I think, and the energy, the aptitude and skills that it takes to read through every month's meetings of several hundred pages. So she's already communicated with me she'd be dedicated to be in touch with all the districts regarding the IWMA issues. We owe it to keeping our ocean, our rivers, lakes, and health of our wildlife, and of course the constant litter problem that plagues our county. Nominate, and I totally support Cynthia Rapoglia for this representative to the IWMA. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Is there any other comments?
The last hand I have raised is Charles. He has an older version of Zoom, so I'm going to promote to a panelist.
Progress.
There he is.
All right, am I okay?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Carrie. I'll upgrade my Zoom thing.
No worries.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to thank the district for taking the stand on reducing plastic, polystyrene pollution, you know, in kind of the big way at the source. It's a beach community. So much of that just flows downstream onto our beaches. And so I think it's really important for us to stay on this. And I'll just be brief. I'm really here to support Cynthia Rapoglia for the position of the alternate on the, you know, the board of the special services districts. I think it's really been kind of embarrassing how this thing has been so dysfunctional. And if Cynthia brings great tenacity and skills and logic and rationality to this, I know that she'll do a great job on behalf of all the districts. So that's it. Thank you so much.
And with that was the last hand I had raised.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. So do we want to talk about the letter, the letter about the representation first? The letter to Mr. Ochsliski? Hey.
Well, I'll start.
Okay, go ahead, Karen.
I don't think we should do anything until we get that report back and see what the county's going to do. Because I think we're jumping out ahead of ourselves and without knowing a heck of a lot about what's going on. And, okay. And you know, yeah, I'm against styrofoam, no question about that, yeah. But it's just a political mismatch right now, and I don't want to get into a political fight with everybody and anybody over this whole issue. So that's where I am. I think we just table it, forget about it temporarily until we know more about what's going on. That's just my viewpoint.
Okay, anybody else have anything to say?
I do. I think that you know, maybe we should wait just a little, see what happens. But I am in support of nominating Cynthia as an alternate because I know personally she has a lot of knowledge and a lot of passion for this area. So when the time comes. I also support her being an alternate. Personally, I think maybe we should wait a little. Don't know what Cynthia says.
Thank you, Director Dia. I tend to agree. I'd already been thinking about it, and I think we need to, I'd really like to see the consultant's report. I'd like to know what Mr. Ogren was saying, the meeting and the things that he wants to talk about with their new agenda with their the August 11th meeting. So I really think it's premature and that we would be getting involved in the political thing that we really don't need to get involved in now. So like I'm against polystyrene and everything else, but I really think we should wait till at least after August 11th and see what happens and what's, you know, wait till we see this report on what would be. It's just, in my mind, it's premature to act on it right now. So, Director Repolo, did you have anything you wanted to?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Director Villa and the members of the public who are supporting my nomination for the alternate position on the IWMA board. I don't think it's premature at all. The alternate position has been open for quite some time, and a lack of representation, a lack of communication between the special districts representative and the special districts themselves in terms of keeping them informed and asking for feedback on IWMA matters has been a big issue for a while. And having somebody in the alternate role, at least, who would be more communicative, I think is important at this juncture. It's going to be, even if the Board of Supervisors decides to withdraw from the IWMA, that won't happen until the end of the year. The IWMA is dealing with a lot of issues between now and then. So I don't see a reason to delay. But I do see that the three of you are holding that opinion. And it's unlikely that two of you will change your minds based on what I'm saying. So I hope to have your support at some future time when you believe that it's the right time to do it.
Thank you. Thank you for those comments.
Thank you.
Okay. And okay, with that, I think we pretty much agree to table. Do we need a motion on this?
I'll make a motion. We table it until, to an indefinite time in the immediate, but not 10 years from now. I mean, table it for temporarily tabled. How's that sound? To be brought back at several months from now. I don't know how to say that. Mr. Minner?
President White, and Vice President White, do you want to clarify that's on the nominating someone as an alternate letter? Because we have the other letter to the county.
Both issues, yes.
I think that's fine.
I'd like to speak then on the letter to the county. I think it's important to send that now and provide our feedback on how the county's withdrawal would impact the special districts. That's something that they chose not to consider in the study that they're paying for right now. They deliberately left out impacts on the special districts. So providing that input is important at this juncture as they get that report from their consultants and are actually considering whether or not to withdraw. They need to hear our views on that sooner rather than later. And I'd like to thank Mr. Clemens for a well-drafted letter.
All right, very good. Thank you. So we'll bring it back now. Karen, did you want to redo your motion? You're going to do both letters or just?
Yes, I make a motion. We table the whole action for short. I'm trying to figure out how to put a restriction on it so we have to come back in a couple of months and look at it again. I don't want it to be lost.
Well, no, Mr. Minnery, is there a term put on that to make it that it will be in a timely fashion?
Just in a timely fashion, I guess, would be make a motion.
We
table tonight and review in a timely manner.
Right. I would let that decision be up to your general manager.
Mr. Clemens or Mr. Ogren, I don't recall exactly, but the county was going to decide whether or not to withdraw before the end of the year, I believe. So is there an appropriate point that you could suggest now that we would need to send in a letter to be considered before they make that decision?
It would be after the August 11th meeting, maybe?
So my understanding is they're coming back in August. I believe it's the 11th. Is that a Tuesday? No, 10th. August 10th with the results of that study. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be a part of that board item. You know, I guess theoretically at that time they could decide, but right now it's not available. That's all I know.
I heard my name, so I want to confirm that Director Replogle is correct that the county had initially or has expressed some intent of withdrawal by the end of the year. My general understanding is that August 10th is going to be some direction, but it's not clear what the direction the Board of Supervisors might provide. And likewise, on August 11th, you know, the IWMA may also provide some direction, but that's, you know, all too early to predict. So in terms of any thoughts on when your board might want to get an update, it would seem like your meeting following August 10th and 11th, because I think that although it's hard to really anticipate what decisions might be made, certainly I expect some really significant discussions.
Okay, so.
So again, I would say that it's important to get our letter to the county in before August 10th when they're going to be considering withdrawal.
Did you want to make a motion? Does someone want to make a motion?
I think there's a motion on the floor, but I'll withdraw it.
You withdraw it?
Yeah. So we can discuss the matter some more.
That we submit the letter to the county at this time.
A second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second to submit the letter to the county at this time. And I'm just going to say I already stated why I did not want to do that. So go ahead and do the roll call, please.
Yes, Director Replogle.
Yes.
Director Villa.
Yes.
Vice President White.
No.
And President Austin.
No. That's 2-2. Where does that stand?
Okay, the motion does not pass.
Okay, so now can we get a motion on the letter to...
Or you move on.
Sorry?
Or you move on. It's up to the president.
Well, we talked about, we just did the one letter. Now we have the other letter. Do we want to,
yep.
Do we need to do that or just skip it?
You can do that.
Let's get a motion on the letter for the representation. And I think... Karen, do you want to make another motion on that one?
No.
Does anyone else want to make a motion on the, or are we going to just let this one die?
No. I make a motion that we consider representation after August 11th, was it?
Yeah.
At the meeting after August 11th.
Okay. Is there a second on that? I'll second it. Can we get a roll call, please?
Yes, Director Villa.
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes.
Director Replogle?
Yes.
And Vice President White?
No.
Okay. We will move on to review of the fiscal year 2021 budget status. Consideration of a recommendation to approve year-end encumbrances.
Yes, President Austin, I'm gonna share my screen. I have a brief presentation. All right. Are you seeing my screen all right?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet. Okay, let me move it to the other screen. Sorry about this. So, and then let me get to, how about now?
There it is.
Okay, sorry about that, thank you. All right, so President Austin, members of the board, we have your fourth quarter budget review as of June 30th, 2021. In item 9C. So the budget worksheets are attached to the agenda item and the line item savings are in each fund of those budget worksheets. There are no budget adjustments proposed for this agenda item. So in the first fund, I'm just gonna go fund by fund, and these tables are in your staff report, but I just wanted to have them on the screen. So in the general fund incurred an overall savings of $53,000. Property taxes came in $40,000 higher than expected, and this includes interest and funds from SBE 1090. The shortfall $143,000 under other sources, this is from the reimbursement for the administrative and operational crew overhead allocations. The expenditures in the admin budget came in under budget by the $143,000, resulting in the reimbursement from the other funds to be under by the same exact amount. Then in the facilities funds, or in the facilities fund, we received $3,500 less than expected from public facilities fees, which are collected by the county from new development. And then the fire, lighting, and facilities expenditures were under budget as well. Then we have the water fund. So the overall sales from water are over budget by $49,000, and revenues from connection fees are over budget by $5,700. The water revenue comparison of actual water sales versus targeted revenues are included in our six-year history on the last page of your board packet. This is the first fiscal year. You can see that the district has collected more than targeted. For the delinquent fees, at the beginning of March 2020, the district started waiving late fees on utility bills, and this has resulted in a shortfall of $27,000. This shortfall will more than be covered by the savings in expenditure, and most of the savings in expenditures are a result of the savings from state water. Then we have the wastewater fund. So there was a slight shortfall in revenues of $2,700, and the savings in expenditures will more than offset that shortfall. And we saved $95,000 in expenditures. Then we have the garbage fund. The franchise fees from South County Sanitary came in higher than anticipated. This is after resolution 2020-02 was adopted, which reduced the franchise fees from 10% to 5% to the district from South County Sanitary. And then our last fund, we have the equipment fund. The equipment fund expenditures are paid by the water, wastewater, and garbage funds, and the savings in the equipment fund then reduces the charges to those funds. And then just to go over the budget adjustments that were made throughout the year, these aren't proposed. These were made on November 11th, 2020 and February 10th, 2021. So the board approved two budget adjustments during this year. One was in the facilities fund for the cost related costs for the emergency generator project. And then we also fumigated the admin office and the fire station. And then the second budget adjustment were grant revenues awarded to the district by the IWMA Technical Assistance Grant Program, and that's for the water refill stations and the dual trash and recycling receptacles. Then here is a little summary of our encumbrances. So these are contracts or purchase orders that haven't been fully incurred in this fiscal year, so 2021. By encumbering the unexpensed balances, it creates a restriction so that the unexpensed funds are not spent in the next year for other purposes. So the final budget will include these encumbrances. You'll see them in the transfers and encumbrance section of the budget at your public hearing in the second meeting in August. So the first one is for the Water Resource Reliability Program. Phase one was budgeted in fiscal year 17-18, phase two in 18-19, and the remaining revenues and expenditures will be rolled forward to 21-22. Then we have the USDA funding of the capital improvement projects included in the WRRP, and that requires a preliminary engineering report, which is being prepared, and the remaining balance of $7,854 will roll forward to the next year. Then we have the remaining balance to GSI for the NCMA annual report that will roll forward. And then we have WSC's staff extension services for the NCMA technical group to update the 2002 management agreement, and that balance will roll forward. And then we have the National Demographics Corporation, which was hired as the district's demographer to transition the district from at large to division-based elections for November 2022, that election, and the remaining balance will roll forward to next year. And then we have the remaining balance to Tyler Encode for the upgrade of the district's billing software for e-billing and notices. That will roll forward. And lastly, the cost related to the IWMA technical assistance grant for the water bottle refill stations and dual trash can and recycling cans will also roll forward. So with that, the review of the fourth quarter is a receive and file item. And then, establishing the encumbrances in Exhibit A of your board packet will require a motion. And if there's any questions, I would be happy to answer them. And that's all. And you guys, and you can't see my screen anymore, right? It's not sharing. Okay.
I have one question. You mentioned e-billing rolling forward. When is that going to become active for customers?
Yes, thanks for reminding me. So I've been working with Tyler and Digital West, which is our email provider. And we recently found out Digital West can't support anything over 150 emails at a time. So I've been working with Tyler on moving forward with Microsoft 365 because their limitations are much larger. And I didn't want to move forward with pushing that through if I had to migrate it later to Microsoft 65. So very close.
Great, thanks.
Yeah. Any other
questions from anyone on the board? Do we know when we'll have the water bottle refill stations and the trash cans, you know when they're coming?
Yes, they've been ordered, but they were on back order. I can't remember the exact time frame of how long they were going to take, but I know the trash cans, they have been ordered.
Okay, it's gonna take a while. I know everything's there.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Then we'll open this to public comment now.
And yes, just to remind the public, please hit *9 if you're on the phone. And then if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button. And with that, President Austin, I have no hands raised.
All right, thank you very much. So then if there's no other comments, we need a motion for Exhibit A. You said we needed—
Yes, please.
I make a motion. I hope I get this right. Approve the end year encumbrances and also accept the fiscal year 2021 budget status report. Is that close? Thank you.
Is there a second? Okay, Director, be the second. All right, may we get a roll call, please?
Yes, Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Plogle?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay, we're no hearing items. So we'll move to received written communications. Is there anything there, Mr. Clemens? Okay, nothing. Anybody want to comment on future agenda items?
I just had a question, probably for Mr. Clemens. Have we had anyone react to our redivisioning mapping? Has anybody sent in a map or anything yet?
I don't believe so, no. Hopefully, maybe, and we planned on doing an update once we get the actual census data in the fall.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about it again. And that's when people can really get to work. I drew a map just to see how easy it was. And it was fairly easy process. I'm not going to submit it because I'm not a expert on Oceano, and I'll leave that to NDC. But for those who want to submit the maps, it's a fairly easy process, and we can help people through that if they need it.
Right. I just was hoping that people would take an interest in it and we could generate some enthusiasm.
Thank you. Future hearing, we have August 25th, the fiscal year final budget hearing. We have no closed session. So with that, if anything else, we can adjourn. If somebody wants to make a motion.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Wait a second.
Second.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
I'll adjourn. Good evening. Thank you.